Welcome to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us this week on Building the Bakken Radio, the most trusted energy brand in the Bakken today. Building the Bakken is not a political program, rather an informational brand. No polarizing talk, just conversations about the facts of the energy industry. Here at the Crude Life Media Network, we generate positive energy. Building the Bakken is about the people, the community, and the industry, those who are involved with the evolution of the Bakken oil field and the oil and gas industry. On today's episode of Building the Bakken Radio, we talk with Lauren Scott, Dr. Lauren Scott, energy economist, about whether rig counts matter anymore. Should we be looking at a new way of measuring oil and gas rigs? Plus, the global state of oil. China's investing $84 billion into West Virginia's energy. Continental Resources is shipping crude oil to China. What is going on in the global state of oil and the new era of energy? Plus, Josh Swanson from Vogel Law Firm. He talks about a very strange lawsuit, which indirectly will impact his clients who are landowners in the Bakken oil field and own mineral rights. You're going to want to stick around for that interview a little bit later on in the program. Plus, our weekly Davis Refinery update, we check in with John Patch with the North Dakota Water Commission. He tells us exactly where the Davis Refinery is going to be pulling their water from. All that plus much more on today's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to tell you folks about a world-class leadership summit happening in Fargo, North Dakota, January 24th through the 26th. Leadership matters more than most things, and when a leader gets better, everything around it gets better too. The folks from Hatch Coaching are part of a world-class leadership summit happening in Fargo, North Dakota, January 24th through the 26th. You're going to want to be a part of it, folks. Right now, leadership is changing, and Hatch Coaching is leading the way. The world-class leadership summit is happening in Fargo, North Dakota, January 24th through the 26th. For more information, visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
It's easy to see how I could become.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, our weekly Davis Refinery update, and we have John Patch with the North Dakota Water Commission commenting on the use of water and the Davis Refinery coming to Belfield, North Dakota. Mr. John Patch, have you been working on this Davis project, this Davis Refinery much?
Well, yes. Yes, we have. Our staff has been busy with evaluating the water permit application, and as you well know, just about every industry out there requires water in their process or in their needs, and the refinery obviously is one of those industries that does require a significant amount of water. And in this state, you know, water is considered to be waters of the state, and you need to get a permit to use that water, whether it's groundwater or surface water. Both require a permit from the state engineer. And so they did make an application for groundwater for use in the refinery process. They did indicate in the application phase as well that the water was going to be from, the source water was going to be from the Dakota Formation, which is a deep buried confined aquifer, but it's a waste aquifer area where wastewater is put, and so all of the saltwater injection wells in the western part of the state, basically for the most part, most of those are down into the Dakota. The water is actually, wastewater is actually put down in there because it's not used for potable sources by anybody out in the west. So the quality is not a concern to put wastewater down into it, and of course that means that there's a lot of water available there for appropriation for a beneficial use. So the permit application was made by the applicant, and they then went through a process of public review and comment, and the hydrologist then took the information and did a technical analysis and responded to all of the concerns that were expressed during the comment period, and issued a recommended decision. And the recommended decision that is another formal document that has the availability for the public to review and comment on if you're a party of record. So there were several parties of record that that did do that, where they both commented and requested that it be moved forward into what's called an adjudicative proceeding. And so that's where we're at with the application from the Meridian Group for the Davis Refinery.
How's it been working on this big project? I mean, I was talking to Terry O'Claire, and he mentioned EPA, and I'm thinking, oh, that's right. A project of this magnitude, you know, there's a reason hasn't come along in 50 years. So, you know, you're dealing with engineers and like I mentioned, a CEO, and I would imagine a whole bunch of different personalities and professionals. What's it like working the chemistry on trying to pull off a project this size?
Well, again, we're not getting involved in any of the of those matters, you know, where it comes to a policy of using the resource for whatever use out there. We're looking at it strictly from the impacts to the environment and to the water supply and any impacts that the use of that water may have on those. And so we're not, you know, getting involved in the kind of the meetings where we're negotiating anything. It's strictly a permit review, a technical analysis.
Sure, you guys are the beaker in the chemistry, so to speak. What the impact? So, I was kind of following this on my notes a little bit. So, it sounds to me like some of the wastewater goes down to the Dakota Aquifer, and then the Davis Refinery would pull this back out and then use it as their water. So, I mean, it's kind of a recycle process, isn't it?
Well, I don't know that the water that's being injected is actually going to be drawn back in at this site. You know, we're talking probably distance of miles away to the nearest injection site. I'm just talking about the aquifer as a whole is a zone where water is injected into. So I don't think we're actually pulling out any injected wastewater, but it's water that's already naturally in a brine state where it's not usable for much other than things like refinery processing.
Sure, yeah, and here I'm on the theory side of things, and yeah, I didn't even think about how it's not like liquid underneath and they suck it up like a straw or anything like that. So, but overall, just kind of if you were to, I guess, summarize the permit process and that sort of thing, I got the picture that the water that's going to be used in this refinery is not used. It's not potable water. It's not drinking water. It's not used in any sort of city system. Now that part I got. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, that's absolutely correct. You know, the water in the Dakota is non-potable water. It's a brine state naturally, and so it's a great candidate, really. If you're talking about putting waters in the state to beneficial use, to be used in an industrial process.
The permit itself, now the air quality one, we're in this public comment phase. I want to say that's about a week away, probably a week from today. If today's the 10th, I think it's the 17th at the Dorothy Stickney Auditorium in Dickinson, North Dakota. That's been approved, but in public comment. So it's kind of, I call that on like the 5-yard line, so to speak. Did I hear that this has not been approved yet, or it has been approved, or where's the permit at itself?
So I guess I'm not quite sure how the EPA and the health department process works completely, but I can describe how our process works. Basically, there's a comment period upon application. So there's a 30-day period where there's a publication to let everybody know that the permit has been applied for, and I'm talking about the water permit now.
To listen to the full-length interview with John Patch from the North Dakota Water Commission, or to listen to other Davis Refinery updates, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is also on social media. Check us out on Facebook at The Crude Life, course, all of those social media links are available at our website, thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Now you sit in your piano in your purple party dress. Everyone who's ever met you knows exactly what's next.
First, the music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Watch it shine so bright underneath the stage light. So bright in candlelight.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? Nothing. You need a raise.
June 15th, save the date. That's June 15th, the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. That's June 15th. Be sure to save the date today, and we'll see you June 15th at the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Dr. Lauren C. Scott, energy expert, consultant, and economist with Lauren Scott & Associates. Energy. Hey, before we get into some of the other topics real quick, have you been reading or do you know much about these like super pads that they've been talking about, these super wells?
Not a whole bunch about them, of course, but this is an industry that has, it just has the most ingenious people in it. And if you look at things, just simple things like output per well since 2007, when all this started, it's an amazing thing to see the growth in that as people have figured out ways to use different kinds of propants and use more sand in the propants, and how they just going about spacing the stages where they do the fracking. I mean, all this stuff is just ingenious what they've done, and my expectations. They're so keen on keeping their cost down, so they get that break-even point down, that they're doing things on the well site too. I mean, I know that they're moving very close now. I think to all the rigs, the rig floor being almost all automated as opposed to having a Ruptex on. So there's all kinds of really cool things to watch if you like this sort of thing, to watch in this industry.
Rig counts, I've been hearing over the past 6 months, call it a year, that maybe the industry needs to start looking at rig counts differently. Now, what that means, they don't know yet, but it just didn't seem to have the same, I guess, economic identifier that it did in the past. So before we get into that a little bit, what is the historical and what do kind of rig counts indicate? You're one of the top energy minds in the world. Every day people get up and they look at rig counts. What exactly are they looking for, just kind of at a very broad brush 101 type thing when it comes to rig counts?
Well, usually there's a very high correlation between what happens to rig count and what happens to production, right? And so when the rig count, at the very high, when the price of oil is back $110 or so, $110 a barrel, the rig count in the United States is about 1900. And the U.S. oil production was really rising very rapidly. And then, of course, it dropped down from 1900 down to 400 range. And sure enough, output started dropping. So there, and then now, the rig count is back up around 900. And sure enough, oil output has increased. But what has happened, I think, is you're getting more output per rig. So this is not the same one-to-one correlation, let's say it was back in, you know, 7 or so. And the very reason is because of what we were talking about earlier. In 2007, when we first started doing the fracking, a well in the Bakken play would produce about 100 barrels of oil per day. Well, they've now got that up around 1,100 barrels of oil per day. So the same number of rigs is going to produce 10 times more oil than the same rig in 2007. So I think that's part of what's going on, is that the people are just getting so clever about more efficient ways of drilling and then more efficient ways of fracking the wells so they get more output from a given rig. And that, I think that's why we're starting to see a little bit of a disconnect between the two. But generally speaking, it's still the same signal. Rig count starts to decline, you're probably going to see the oil output decline too. And when it goes up, you're going to see oil output go up as well.
I remember Lynn Helms and I talking about this a few times, just because over the years, last few years, you know, the downturn and low oil price and all these things. And I still would say, well, North Dakota is still drilling 1 million barrels a day. So, I mean, I get the fact that there's a lot of that, but we're still pumping out 1 million barrels a day. And then I asked Helms that, and he said maybe there, you know, 6 months ago, he said, I do think we need to start looking at it differently. And he didn't know how either, you know. And you mentioned the increased production. And is there anything to do with maybe the horizontals or the lateral drilling? Can that be brought into play in any sort of algebraic formula? Am I off base here?
No, I don't think you are. I mean, the engineers probably have an algebraic formula for this. But, I mean, the main thing is that in both sides of the coin, both the drilling efficiencies, like you can drill a rig now in probably a third the amount of time that you drilled it back in 2007. So the drilling efficiency has improved. They just learned how to move rigs around and move rigs and also drill more than one well from a given rig. And then once they drill it, the fracking process, the use of proppants again, and then the what they do is they take that horizontal section and they break it up into stages. Well, how you break that up into stages, you used to break it up maybe 16 stages, now you break it up into more than 60 stages. So, you know, make the smaller stages, and then the way you frack them a lot closer together. Everything, every clever thing they can come up with, they've come up with that's resulted in more oil per well. And so you guys can have a reduction in your well count from where it was, say, back in 2013, 2014, but you might still have almost the same amount of production with fewer wells because you're more efficient at it now. You know, where you were getting 100 barrels per rig or per well, now you're getting 1,100. Well, you know, you don't have to have as many wells to get your output going, right?
How about when it comes to the DUCs or the uncompleted wells, the refracs? How about when it comes to that? Do they play into this at all with when it comes to rig counts and in the production numbers?
Well, the DUCs for sure do, because you can have a reduction in the rig count. The rig count has to do with whether the sucker is drilling the hole or not, right? And the last time I looked at the number of DUCs in the United States, it was something on the order of 4,000. So there's a bunch of wells out there that have already been drilled that all you have to do is go frack them and you start getting production. So you can have zero change in the rig count, but you go out there and you frack those 4,000 DUCs and you're going to get output, right? That's totally unassociated with the rig count today. It may be associated with the rig count a year ago, but it's not associated with the rig count today. So you get some weird situation where the rig count goes down, but production goes up simply because you're now fracking previously drilled wells.
How about this new stage of oil that we're in right now? When we talk about global oil, whether it be from an OPEC standpoint, or I mentioned in my email to you, you know, China is investing $84 billion just in West Virginia's energy. You know, Continental is one of many companies now shipping crude oil to China. Trump's pushing for Canada, Mexico, U.S. to kind of be a North American power of oil. So what are you seeing when it comes to the global oil? Oh, yeah, even Rex Tillerson, Secretary of State, so even some fingers in the geopolitical side of things. The way I'm looking at this thing is this global oil economy is here, and now we're just starting to see the execution of it.
Well, I mean, I will tell you that there's been something nagging at me for the last several years. As this, I mean, this truly was a shale revolution. We're not overusing that word when we say revolution, because it changed everything in the oil and gas side. I mean, it changed us from oil output in the United States declining and declining pretty rapidly to suddenly growing, and now we're producing record levels of oil, the levels of oil we've never produced before. So it was a true revolution that has taken place. And the thing that's been kind of worrying me a little bit, making me a little bit nervous, is the fact that there are shale plays in other countries.
Dr. Lawrence C. Scott, hold that thought. In just a moment, we'll come back to you. But first, we want to take a moment to thank our good sponsors here at Building the Bakken Radio. We are very grateful for them. They keep interviews like this free, and they literally keep our lights on. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Like the queen of the yard, not minding anyone. But the farmer's wife had set the pot to boil, and the dinner table was set. She had collard greens and a pot of baked beans, but she hadn't cooked the main course yet. Oh, it's good to mind your own business, but you better pay attention too. You might turn a blind eye on the world, but there's always an eye on you.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
That hand should have seen it coming, a hatchet and a butcher block. But she was too wrapped up, strutting her stuff to see the water was getting hot. Oh, it's good to mind your own business, but you better pay attention to me. You might turn a blind eye on the world, but there's always an eye on you.
I'd like to take this opportunity to tell you folks about a world-class leadership summit happening in Fargo, North Dakota, January 24th through the 26th. Leadership matters more than most things, and when a leader gets better, everything around it gets better too. The folks from Hatch Coaching are part of a world-class leadership summit happening in Fargo, North Dakota, January 24th through the 26th. You're going to want to be a part of it, folks. Right now, leadership is changing, and Hatch Coaching is leading the way. The world-class leadership summit is happening in Fargo, North Dakota, January 24th through the 26th. For more information, visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Oh, it's good to mind your own business, but you better pay attention to. You might turn a blind eye on the world, but there's always an eye on you. There's always an eye on you.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies. Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? You need a raise.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota, is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Mark your calendars for June 15th. That's the Bakken Barbecue. Mark your calendars today, June 15th. The Bakken Barbecue coming to Dickinson, North Dakota. Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, we continue our exclusive interview with Dr. Lawrence C. Scott, energy expert, consultant, and economist.
An oil state like North Dakota or an oil state like Louisiana is very happy about. So kind of, I think what people need to do is to kind of keep a wary eye on what happens to the shale plays in other countries. I guarantee you OPEC's doing that right now. They're watching that. They started out thinking the United States was their only fly in the ointment, the only burr under their saddle, if you like. But there is the very real, at least geological possibility, that problems will start to arise in China and in South America and a couple other places in the world.
Dr. Lauren Scott on the line with us here. Just kind of wrapping up your final question. Over the holidays, very interesting, went to the Bakken, went to the Niobrara, and some of the reactions either at the hotels or from people when it came to the energy industry kind of took me back a little bit, because these were primarily pretty energy, you know, thick places, and they were almost like tiptoeing a little bit because the bottom line is it became a little too politicized, the energy industry, and all of a sudden people are mingling in right to life and gun control issue topics and that sort of thing, and you're just trying to have a conversation about how work's going, and all of a sudden you're caught up in a political talk here. Are you finding this at all, that the energy industry seems to be getting a little too politicized for really turning a light bulb on?
Well, I think the oil and gas industry, if you are a green, effectively, you're really heavily invested in the green movement. You need to understand they hate oil. Matter of fact, they hate fossil fuels, and their objective. One of the reasons they object, for example, in Louisiana, we have a pipeline that we're trying to get built, 167-mile pipeline, and the people who hate fossil fuels, they are making the argument that adding 167 more miles of pipeline to a state that has enough miles of pipeline to circle the globe four times, that adding another 167 is apparently going to tip us over and cause, you know, environmental catastrophe. They're making that case. They're trying to make people believe that. And the reason isn't because they really believe that pipeline's bad. The reason is they want to keep the oil and the natural gas in the ground. And apparently these people are not real good with math, because if they're really good with math, they can figure out if you keep oil and gas, natural gas in the ground, you think you're cold right now, you've got no idea how cold you're going to be without fossil fuel around.
Yeah, that's what we always like to say. Let's just turn the light off. You know, like in North Dakota, at the end of the day in North Dakota, I think like 70-80% is powered by coal. And, you know, coal's been under attack for a decade. And I always laugh saying, if you like turning your lights on, then stop harassing coal.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, sometimes I want to say, well, tell you what, let's do this for a month. Let's just take a month and don't use any oil, don't use any natural gas, and watch what happens. Well, that movement will go away and nothing flat. But people see how difficult it is to move around, how difficult it is to move food around, how difficult it is to stay warm or stay cool, depending on where you are. It's amazing. And there's no way in hell that wind and solar are going to fix that problem. They're just way too tiny, way too unpredictable. Sun doesn't shine all the time, wind doesn't blow all the time. And people say, well, we can use batteries. Well, what? You think electricity comes out of a socket in the wall? Electricity doesn't come out of a socket in the wall. It has to be generated by coal, natural gas, fuel oil, typically by fossil fuels. So it's a hairy mess, but that's what life is like out there right now.
Yeah, I guess so. I tell you what I've seen is honestly a very proactive industry, an industry that wants to constantly be ahead of the curve. And, you know, really when you look back, you know, the EPA was created by Richard Nixon. And even Ron Paul, who's probably one of the most libertarian Republicans there is, he's even said, you know, there is a need for the EPA in terms of general stop dumping toxic waste into rivers, that sort of thing, you know, but not all the way to where, no, you cannot, you know, pump a natural gas molecule out of the ground. And that's where I think the extremism has gotten to the point to where we've gotten so past common sense to where I laugh at our DAPL protesters in North Dakota. You know, we're still cleaning up that fossil fuel garbage they left behind.
Right. And no question about that. Matter of fact, I think what you're already seeing the U.S. economy starting to grow, pick up its growth pace significantly since Trump came in. And one of the reasons is Trump took his pen and undid what President Obama did with his pen. He had a remarkable, you look at the number of pages in the Federal Registry. Look what happened to the number of pages in the Federal Registry during the 8 years of the Obama administration. It was big increase, especially in his last year. Unbelievable number of regulations. Well, what is happening now is that the President Trump is going back and with the same pen. He's erasing those things. And, you know, he took principles of economics we teach, that regulations, adding regulations, shifts the cost curves of firms upward and causes them to produce less and hire fewer people. And when you do, you lower cost curves and you increase output and increase employment. And that's what we're starting to see already. You're starting to see 3% growth in real gross domestic product being common, okay, instead of something that never happened, certainly on an annual basis, never happened during the Obama years because of this. And I think one of the primary reasons is a tremendous amount of regulations that came out during his tenure.
Dr. Lauren C. Scott, quick plug for, are you still speaking? Are you being a professor? What are you doing these days? Are you retired nowadays? What are you doing?
Well, I retired from LSU back in 98. I taught at LSU for 30 years, but I have a speaking firm. I've had the wonderful opportunity to speak up in North Dakota about 3 times since 2007. And then I give about 50, 60 speeches a year around the country. And then I have an economic consulting firm that we do, out of that we do the public speaking, but also do we do a lot of impact studies. We're doing right now an economic impact study of the energy industry on the state of Louisiana, and talking about refineries and pipelines and oil and gas extraction. And then we're about to start up one. There's ExxonMobil has 4 big facilities here, a refinery, I think the 3rd largest refinery in the United States, and then they got 3 of the chemical plants, and plus a lube plant. And we do an economic impact study of that on the local community to help people see just how important it is to have these firms in our area because of all the extra the jobs they create through the multiplier effect as well.
All righty, sir. Thank you very much. Appreciate the time today.
Okay, bud. Jason, good to talk to you again.
To listen to the full-length interview with Dr. Lauren C. Scott, energy expert, consultant, and economist with Lauren Scott & Associates, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook at thecrudelife.com. All of the social media links are available at that site. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
No mercy from the dead black sky. It's you and the road in the middle of the night. It's you and the road in the middle of the night.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Every drop of water in the world is ice, sharpened in a sickle like silver knives. The lines keep coming where the lanes divide. It's you and the road in the middle of the night. It's you and the road in the middle of the night. Soft and warm, yeah.
I'd like to take this opportunity to tell you folks about a world-class leadership summit happening in Fargo, North Dakota, January 24th through the 26th. Leadership matters more than most things, and when a leader gets better, everything around it gets better too. The folks from Hatch Coaching are part of a world-class leadership summit happening in Fargo, North Dakota, January 24th through the 26th. You're going to want to be a part of it, folks. Right now, leadership is changing, and Hatch Coaching is leading the way. The world-class leadership summit is happening in Fargo, North Dakota, January 24th through the 26th. For more information, visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Now you're running on a thin line through a frozen void. No feeling in your fingers, no
other choice. You are the queen of the midnight run. 11 years of dark to test the sun. The AM radio and the dashboard lights. You and the road in the middle of the night. You and the road in the middle of the night. You and the road in the middle of the night. You and the road in the middle of the night. You and the road in the middle of the night. You and the road in the middle of the night. You and the road in the middle of the night. You and the road.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies. Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this?
Nothing.
You need a raise.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us. In our next segment, we talk with Josh Swanson with the Vogel Law Firm.
So let me ask you this, just backing up again here. When those mineral rights, when the oil happened, because apparently nobody was paying attention back in when the Garrison diversion was being built because there wasn't an oil boom. And now when there's an oil boom, everybody seems to be paying attention to everybody. When that happened, the state, at what point did the state step in? Because you said that the Wilkinsons, I believe, were and other clients that had their lands flooded and surface rights purchased by the government. And what did the private landowners then start selling their or leasing the mineral rights at that point, and then the state just reversed it? Tell me how the state got involved then, if they were leasing it at one point.
Yeah, the state had never released it until, or excuse me, the state had never claimed it until horizontal drilling made those minerals incredibly valuable when the Bakken boom began here about a decade or so ago. So my clients, like the Wilkinsons and then Ed Lynch, who originally hails from the Williston area, and many others just like them, their parents and grandparents going back to 1950s when the first Iverson well was drilled by Tioga, they have leases going that far back. And throughout the years, throughout the decades, you know, the grandparents would lease the minerals, and then another company would come in and renew those leases, and then the parents would lease the minerals. And through the years, where up until 2006 for the Wilkinsons, that was when they most recently executed a lease. But then at some point, whoever it was, I don't know, and that's kind of been one of the where the rubber meets the road in our litigation, is who from the state had the bright idea to try to claim these private mineral rights after private mineral owners had leased them for the better part of half a century, and decide, oh, well, no, wait, we claim those, the state, we claim those. Well, it's, and I think you hit on it, Jason, because you don't need to be a constitutional law scholar, and you really don't even need to be a lawyer to understand the fact that the government can't take private property without compensating the landowner for it. That's basic 101 constitutional Fifth Amendment takings law. And like I said, it's very, very plain on its face. There's not a lot of nuances there. And what courts have said time and time again, and the North Dakota Supreme Court relied on these decisions, and the Wilkinson's decision, including a United States Supreme Court decision, recognizing the fact that the government cannot flood private property and then claim ownership of that property. That's so offensive to the Fifth Amendment. But yet, Representative Nelson and Paul Sorum and several others persist in trying to say that the state owns something that they never owned, ever.
You might not know this, but to me it just seems like the state really wants this money. And is this money tied to something?
You know, that's a good question, and I would say on something like this, I mean, I think that's the impetus of it. These mineral rights are very, very valuable, and the state didn't claim them for, you know, like I said, decades, until all of a sudden we have horizontal drilling and you can get to those mineral rights, and it just so happens the minerals under Sakakawea are very, very valuable. You have the Atlanta super pad that Continental has right by the Highway 85 bridge there near Williston, and you know they've got, last I checked, 6, 7 or more wells that were pumping from that one pad. So I think you're absolutely right that the impetus for this is the money. The frustrating part is that the constitutional implications are so very clear on their face, and yet we have someone else now, a representative in our state legislature, who opposed the bill that passed the legislature by overwhelming margins, was signed into law by the governor, was validated by the North Dakota Supreme Court, and now they bring this complaint trying to dredge up something that should just be put to rest.
Do your clients have any harassment charges that could be pending against the government at this point? I mean, honestly, as I'm sitting here listening to this story, this is one of the most disturbing stories I've heard in the last decade coming out of this state.
Yeah, and someone who's... You know.
To listen to the full-length interview with Josh Swanson or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Where the nighttime lights, earth and line on the horizon, under the soft red glow of the wintertime city clouds, and all the memories come falling down on me every time I roll back to town. Every time I roll back around.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com. Click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
I can almost feel the wind blow. Taste that cool, dry, dusty autumn air in my mouth. Where the nighttime lights, earth and light on the horizon, under the soft red glow of the wintertime city clouds, and all the memories come falling down on me every time I roll back to town. Every time I roll back around.
And that concludes this week's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. Building the Bakken will be back next week at this time on this radio station. For a full list of our media affiliates, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. And from the staff at Building the Bakken, my name is Jason Spies. We're asking you to be safe, be happy, and make it a great day. Thank you, folks, for joining us. We'll see you next week.
There are days when I feel lost and separated. And every step I take falls on foreign ground. And I feel like going back to North Dakota. Take a job, find a wife, and finally settle down. But right now I'm addicted to emotion and the freedom that my selfish solitude provides. And I'd hate to think that I'd become a stranger to the place where I was born, where my heart still resides. Where the nighttime lights, earth and light on the horizon, under the soft red glow of the wintertime city clouds, and all the memories. trees come falling down on me every time I roll back to town. Every time I roll back around.
I'd like to take this opportunity to tell you folks about a world-class leadership summit happening in Fargo, North Dakota, January 24th through the 26th. Leadership matters more than most things, and when a leader gets better, everything around it gets better too. The folks from Hatch Coaching are part of a world-class leadership summit happening in Fargo, North Dakota, January 24th through the 26th. You're going to want to be a part of it, folks. Right now, leadership is changing, and Hatch Coaching is leading the way. The world-class leadership summit is happening in Fargo, North Dakota, January 24th through the 26th. For more information, visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
June 15th, save the date. That's June 15th, the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. That's June 15th. Be sure to save the date today, and we'll see you June 15th at the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota.